and the best corporate governance in Colombia, according to results of the 2020 edition of the Merco Responsibility and Corporate Social Corporate Responsibility Monitor, started with an evaluation of collaborators with the contribution during the pandemic, followed by an evaluation of the perception of more than 1,000 managers in the country. It also included an evaluation of the population at large and some related groups, and it ended with the analysis of a set of management indicators, including equality, integration, commitment to the community, sustainable development objectives, social responsibility, and environmental responsibility. In addition, we are glad to tell you that Fitch reaffirmed its rating of ordinary bonds for Grupo Nutresa at AAA Colombia, as reflecting a solid, sound operation and a good business plan. They just reinstated the group rating with a stable outlook. This takes into consideration elements such as diversification, geographic diversification, with good outlooks, the diversification of categories, products, appropriate allocation of cash flow for operations, a good distribution system, and other business items that make it possible to mitigate the impacts of the pandemic and to ensure food supplies. This rating assigns obligations to the issues with the lowest expectations of the least risk of non-compliance, and shows the ability of Grupo Nutresa to manage its business in periods of high degrees of complexity and uncertainty. Going now to slide number three, let's share with you the strategy for climate change for 2030. Grupo Nutresa phased its new value map in three dimensions for 2030, cooperation with people, allies, and society. First of all, inspiration of development, growth, and innovation as a second place, and a third place, the preservation of the planet. In this last dimension, climate change is one of the priorities for the organization. This is why we're committed to lead actions throughout our value chain to help us reduce greenhouse gas emissions, increase the productivity of natural resources, implement measures to adapt to climate changes, and encourage regeneration of the ecosystems to preserve biodiversity. And for that purpose, as you can see in the slide that we're showing you, we've set some new commitments for 2030 based on four pillars. Resilient supplies. Secondly is sustainable operations and logistics. Third, product services and carbon efficient experiences. And lastly, in responsible investments with climate. I'm not going to read the next ones, which are the specific goals on which we will be working. After this introduction with these three very important items for this period, let's go to slide number four so that we can look at the business performance during the first period of 2020. During the first quarter, we continue to grow both in Colombia and in our international operations. To analyze the sales for the period, we must consider that we compare ourselves to the first quarter of 2020, when the restrictions to mobility started due to the pandemic, and we included icons of demands in our products at home, especially during March of the previous year. And sales in Colombia during the quarter, we still had restrictions by sectors and alternate in different areas, limiting the access to business establishments and to logistics. In the first quarter, we had a growth of 7.3% in sales, which came to 1,744,900 million pesos. These sales come from volumes that have 4.2% and an increase on average of 11.7% in prices. So this means that, you know, we must clarify that close to 70% of this change in prices, on average prices, is explained due to a change in the product mix. To clarify that, if we exclude the subproducts and co-products, such as called fresh meats, and from these calculations, that set of subproducts and co-products decrease 11.5% and have a lower price per kilo. So if we exclude the package of subproducts and co-products, the decrease in volumes would be only 2.1%, and the increase in price would be 9.2%. In addition, business units such with lower prices per kilo, such as pasta and biscuits, decreased, and due mainly because we're comparing them to a month in 2020 where we had some huge sales, panic sales, because of fear of lack of supply. But high price per kilo, such as cold cuts, chocolates and coffee, remain stable or grow, and that also has the an effect on the average price. Distribution channels, like another vendor with a significant increase in sales, high-value sales, for example, in personal health products. The average price for Nutresa went up, and this means that we are increasing our consumer prices at those levels. Now referring to sales, which are reflected in the upper part of the slide, in the biscuits, we had a decrease of 2.1% because, as I said, the comparison of high sales peaks during March of the previous year. The cold cuts grew 4.9%, and it continued with good dynamics with very strong brands. Chocolates had a growth of 7.6% of the revenue, with a significant recovery of impulse and buys. The high price per kilo per product is explained, as I said earlier, due to a good part of the average price that reported. We have one more coffee, instant coffee, and roasted coffee, ground coffee, and that, although we had the lower sales, but it has improved in the sales of coffee to cafeterias. We had recovered sales to different channels, both in consumption points, home deliveries, and electronic sales platforms. We also have ice cream, more consumption because of more mobility. And in Paso, we had a decrease of 4.4% compared to months with high purchases, especially in March previous year. So this is a good month for Colombia, as I said, with a recovery of the businesses that have impulse categories, and where biscuits and pastas are somewhat affected comparatively to those peaks from the last year. Going to international sales, we find that they had revenue in the U.S. for $306 million with a growth of 5% in Colombian pesos. Those sales were $1,888,800 million pesos with an increase of 5.4%. For the period, we had a devaluation of 0.7% vis-a-vis the same quarter in the previous year. Total exports from Colombia was $79.8 million with a growth of 12.4%. Very good exports. In biscuits, we have a decrease due to the effect of the quarter of reference in the 2020, where we had good sales, especially due to crackers at the beginning of the pandemic, TMLC. We have an increase of 5% in dollars, but in the functional currency, it decreased 5.7% due to the peaks we showed during the first quarter in 2020. In coffee, we have 18.5% growth with good growth both in exports from Colombia and Cameroon's coffee in the U.S. In chocolates, the platforms of Peru and Mexico improved their performance with the support of impulse categories. The consumer food grew 2.2% and continued recovering sales through in-presence and electronic channels. In cold cuts, we had increases of 3.6% in dollars due to lower exports compared to the previous year. This is then the report for the sales in Colombia and international sales during the first quarter of this year. Now going to slide number 5, we see that when we consolidate the growth in Colombia of 7.3% and international growth of 5.4%, we reported an increase of 6.6% during the quarter due to sales of 2,833,700 million pesos. Sales for innovation were 17.5% of total revenues for the group during this quarter. Remember that these sales are calculated on the basis of the products developed over the last 3 years. So some of the products are leaving and others come in, and it's still very good sales for innovation. And you can see the graphs that all growth, all businesses grow except Pasta and Biscuits had major peaks during the previous year. So this is a good report, a good start for the year. Now going on to slide number 6. And with respect to the distribution of sales by region, we can say that the sales outside of Colombia increased or represented 38.4% of the total. And I would highlight the growth in Dominican Republic, Peru, in Mexico, and in the U.S., which were higher than the average for the group. As you can see, the most important geography in sales, number one is Colombia with 61.6%. In second place, we have the U.S. with 11.6%. In that third place is Central America with 9.7%. In the fourth place is Chile with 6.6%. That diversification, geographical diversification is very important. It's one of the factors that we had been taken into consideration by Fitch when they renewed that rating, indicating that the geographic diversification is very important and makes our risk level be lower than if we had concentrated our sales in a single geography. And in raw materials, in slide number 7, you can see the commodity index for Grupo Nutres on average. The first quarter has a level which is higher than we had during the same period in the previous year. And the result has a higher reference price for all raw materials that we use in our production, with the exception of cocoa. And the most of those growth is double digit. In this highly volatile circumstances, having a coverage strategy for commodities is very important. And Grupo Nutres only have a strategy for commodities that includes financial coverage or hedges and physical inventories. And this has enabled us to partially offset the huge increase we've seen in the global markets for raw materials. Now I will give the floor to Jose Domingo Penagos, our Vice President of Corporate Finance, who will share with you some more detailed information about the profitability for the period. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Good morning, everyone. Starting on slide number 8, we'll look at the profitability and financial statements and the position of current debt in the group. We'll also speak about cash and capex. So in this slide, number 8, we see the EBITDA for the quarter, which is 398,000 million pesos with a growth of 5.7% and a margin on sales of 14%. This is a quarter that reflects, first of all, price pressure on raw materials. This is seen most business units. We also have a higher expense due to the intensive strict measures for cleaning, protection for biodiversity, which are necessary to operate in this pandemic. And this is an additional cost of about 18,000 million pesos, and would be or equivalent to 70 basis points in margin. They're not giant, but they are necessary costs, and because we are responsible and we have to incur in them to operate. This is the first chapter. This, as I said earlier, this applies to most, if not all, business units. And although it sounds a little repetitious, the consistency in our production plans, in the administration, where we have more effect of expenses, this consistency is key to get back to a profit balance. This administration and sales expenses help a lot to return to the balance that we showed earlier. We'll see that in more detail, but this is part of the performance of the EBITDA by business units. And speaking about the units, let me describe to you the characteristics of the profitability of each one, starting with biscuits. This decrease in sales is offset, have a significant challenge, and we also have pressure from the raw materials. We have some good hedge levels, but the items, the savings or the productivity in those lines, both in Colombia and internationally, help have this margin in 11.5%. Biscuits is a faithful reflection of the description that I said at the beginning. Then we have the cold cuts. We have significant pressures on raw materials. We have the proteins, such as beef and pork. They both grew at double-digit rates, and this has an impact on the margin compared to what took place in the previous year. Chocolates, we have good performance, very good performance. Significant growth of the EBITDA for almost 20%, double-digit or high-digit. And this is the result of a good business performance. And as part of that, we have a better product mix, more profitable products, a better performance. And this has helped us a lot with this significant margin for the chocolate business unit. The productivity in sales and expenses, especially marketing and distribution, which with a good quarter for chocolate. And this applies for both in Colombia, but also and especially for the operations overseas. I mean, Mexico and Peru have some challenges. We've said that in previous conferences this quarter. They have better performance and helps a lot with this business unit. Let's go to the coffee business unit. As we said, good performance, double-digit growth in the first quarter, and we have significant pressure from raw materials. Coffee has a very significant part of the expenses or cost of this business, and it has a high double-digit cost. So this has a pressure on the margin compared to the previous margin in the previous year. But we keep a good level compared, and it keeps a good business margin in the business coffee. And Tres Montes, look at the high, it grows 1.3% with the EBITDA, and we still have the cost pressure. This is diversified in itself, a business unit, and in general, it has been impacted by all the categories due to the cost. It also, you see a little more impact on our profits. This is an interesting chapter. All the retail foods and pastas all have improved. There's a significant, obviously, improvement. It has a business performance, opening all the way, have certain closures in some cases, or for weeks, consecutive weeks, in operations in Colombia and in the other geographies. We had good business performance, and this is immediately reflected on the EBITDA. This is 22%, very close to its structural EBITDA, with a good mix, a good balance between sales at the critical points, on the sales points, and the sales or revenue that they can get through home deliveries and various platforms. And then the pasta and ice cream, we had a margin of 20%, higher than 300 base points compared to what happened in previous semester last year. And in a series of successive, very sustained operating efficiencies in marketing and expenses, all the expenses, including logistics, had a very good profit for this ice cream business. And lastly, in pasta, 16.6% margin, very similar to the effect we had in ice cream, 210 base points higher compared to the same period last year. And compare that to the peak last year, we can see that more because of the expenses, the operating efficiencies. So this is a general description by business unit, and this helps us understand up to the middle line of the P&L. And now let's go to slide number 9, where we show the statement of results for the first quarter. Once again, and as a general comment, this is a quarter with on and off measures in terms of quarantine. So these measures are agile and flexible to ensure a supply of the products in our through different channels. This is reflected in higher expenses and costs, and somewhat changes in the mix of the channels. So one of the most significant figures, we have revenue, which is 2.8 billion, 6.6% growth, good dynamics in Colombia and overseas. And Carlos Ignacio mentioned the different blocks of the dynamics, but in general, a balanced geographic performance. Gross profits of 1.2 billion. Growth is in the profits is less than sales. We still have pressure from costs. In this case, we have a contraction of 70 base points in gross margin. And as I said earlier, that profit equation is affected by the expenses. Production are very much associated with COVID, or that had the effect of COVID. This entire chapter in operating expenses in administration and production grew 3.4%. We grew 3.4 in this area, and this reports 600 point base points to this cost. So we believe that consistency is key. As long as we have this cost pressure, having flexibility and expenses to be able to manage our profit equation. This is so far the gross profit, the high part, or the upper part of the P&L. Some effects due to the difference of rate of exchange in operating assets and liabilities. And this is due mainly to the impact of the rate of exchange in our capital, working capital accounts for this period between the end of the year and the end of this first quarter. We have a devaluation of 8.9%. But if we evaluate the close at March 30th, the previous year, compared to this year, what we have is a revaluation of a very similar amount due to the volatility of the rate of exchange. We have been very active in this chapter of hedging our rates of exchange and all the commodities. This explains the operating profits during the first quarter, the value is 291,000 million pesos, with a growth of 13.4%, and the EBITDA, 10,297, with a growth of 5.7% and a growth in a margin on sales. And this is the midline of the P&L. Post-operating, both financial revenue and expenses, we have a decrease mostly due to the benefit of lower debt rates, but also the placement of our investments, our temporary cash surpluses. The positive effect is seen in the financial expenses, significant 24% difference. This is 18,600 million pesos, very similar to the pressure we had due to the COVID, 18,000 more expenses, but we have 18,000 more in expenses and financial expenses during the period. Let's talk about the debt, but the rates, all cost debts, continues to be competitive, and we're moving to fine-tune our rates of interest. We also have to lower materiality expenses, 5,600 million pesos. The results of our associates, in this case, we have the operations from Malaysia, etc., but mainly small operations. Alaska, we have a very good revenue. And we can say that the effect on taxes, although we have a decrease in current income taxes because of the lower tax deductions during the first quarter, and we have compensated by the difference of exchange, the most significant part is the effective tax rate, which doesn't change significantly, and we ended the effective rate of exchange is 24%. If we compare that to our rate for the same period, 2020 was 26%. So we can see here that there was no material change compared or in taxes. All these effects allow us to report net profits of 229,000 million pesos, in this case with a growth of good double digits, at 20% compared to the same quarter last year. And finally, as usual in slide number 10, we have our debt position and several issues to highlight. Our net debt is 2.6 billion Colombian pesos. The coverage indicator is 1.98 times, although it grows compared to December last year. But we can evaluate that the statistics that the first quarter is more seasonal in terms of cash flow. We have more intensive activities like taxes, labor expenses, and we have higher capex because of a project that we mentioned a lot, and that has a significant investment during this quarter, in this year. So we have 1.98 times the net debt to EBITDA rate. The conditions of our debt, the all expense rate is 3.63% for this period, and we're very active in determining or fixing interest rates, and we're levering our average. This rate reflects slightly higher cost, but we're working a lot on that average of the current cost, which we believe is competitive. And in many cases, what we've seen is to maintain our rates or slightly higher, but with longer terms. So the life of the average life of the debt is longer. So we're close to 20% of our debt. We have fixed rates for most of that. We also mentioned CapEx here in the first quarter, in the 57,000 million pesos. the budget is 430 thousand million pesos for the organic growth. This doesn't include inorganic movements. We have 9.7%, this is right, for our food chapter compared to 9.6 that we ended with last year. And this summarizes, in general, this is the entire section about results. I'll give the floor to Carlos Ignacio, who's going to share our outlook for 2021, and then we'll start our Q&A. Thank you, Jose Domingo. With respect to the outlook, I'd like to speak first about what we think would probably happen in terms of the business. As you know, we've been working for several years on developing channels and strengthening our brands, on having Nutresa have a good portfolio of categories and geographies. In addition, we've made some efforts to try to ensure accessibility. This means being able to play in different currencies and the availability, which has a lot to do with our channel strategy that I mentioned earlier. The presence where clients, our consumers, and buyers need to have our product. In another area, innovation has helped a lot with the growth. And lastly, the sustainability capabilities enable us to identify risks and opportunities and work on them. What we see coming for the near future is turbulence. We're going to continue to have some confinements in some countries because we're facing a pandemic which has not been resolved. And although there are some vaccination efforts, there's a lot to be done yet. And we can see it's alternating closings and confinements. But the combination of capabilities, channels, brands, our presence in various geographies, innovations, and sustainability will allow us to have good growth. And this is what we see coming, and that's what we've seen in April. With respect to the profits, we're also going to see pressures from the cost of commodities, volatility in the rates of exchange, and we're going to have expenses to care for people, health, and life, and this is going to be our priority. These are not new expenses, because last year, more than 10,000 million pesos in caring for people, and during this first quarter, we invested more than 18,000, and we're continuing to do so. I mentioned the coverage, both physical and financial hedges. We mentioned our productivity plans for costs and expenses that we have going on, and we have the pricing strategies also combined with the hedges, and the productivity efforts will allow us to mitigate the impact and to continue with new adequate returns. In summary, the first quarter has been challenging, but we believe that the capabilities of Nutresa will enable the company to grow and maintain good returns. That is my outlook for the future. This is a company that has, in these turbulent environments, moves and acts and learns quickly. We're very open to reviewing what else we can do. The year is a challenge, but we have very different capabilities as we had last year. Now, Catherine, let's go to the Q&A. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Now we'll start our question and answer session. We'll go with Hilda to see what questions we have through the audio. Thank you. If you like to ask a question, please push star and one in your phone. If you're using your loudspeaker, please lift your headpiece before you push star one. If you have any questions, push star and one on your phone. Do we have any questions, Hilda? If you have any questions, push star and number one. We have Mr. Juliano Siki from the Vivienda Corredores. Could you tell us a little bit about the repurchase plan? Can we have more information about the dynamics? How are you going to do this repurchase? Because in the report you had that possibility. Thank you, Julian, for you being with us, and I'll be glad to answer your question. First, I want to remind you that the assembly, shareholders assembly of last year, approved a project to repurchase shares for up to 300,000 million pesos to be implemented over 3 years. The previous conference, we mentioned that due to the uncertainty during this year, the board of directors had prioritized maintaining our liquidity levels in an environment where we weren't sure of what was going to happen and didn't use that possibility. This is an option. It is not an obligation that the board of directors can decide when to do, when to not use it. There was a change in the regulations because we're waiting for a response from the financial superintendency about the mechanics to implement these process of repurchasing shares. The reply from the superintendents in a resolution that I will be glad to share you through, you know, from the investor relations office indicates two paths. One is a mini note with a very similar conditions to, and another one with the company that repurchases the share does the repurchasing through the transactional systems of the stock exchange. What happened Friday is that the board of directors of Grupo Nutresa approved the rules which will be used to repurchase the shares. We reported to the market as we should, and the information is sent to the Colombian Stock Exchange. And after the Stock Exchange reviews and finds that this is adequate, we place the orders through a commission firm. For example, you limit the possibility of repurchasing within 15 days before we disclose the results of the market. The amount to be repurchased depends on the average transacted over the last 90 days. Entered the price at which you will repurchase the shares cannot be higher than the maximum closing value of the market. So with this, what the superintendency has said is that both the amounts to be repurchased and the prices are what they indicate. So the companies cannot speculate in the market, but rather all of this takes place according to the conditions established by the superintendency as the most adequate. We are doing that. What we're doing is sending the information to the stock exchange, and according to that regulation, we will begin to do the repurchase, which is at the most 300,000 million pesos to be implemented over 3 years. We have 2 years now. It will be over 2 years now. This is the mechanism, and this is according to the regulations issued by the financial superintendent. Thank you, Julian. Is that clear, or do you have anything else to ask about it? No, that is fine. So far, so good. Thank you for your question. Thank you, Julian. Hilda, do you have another question through the audio? From Johanna Castro from Itaú. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your question. My question was about the part that didn't go through the reform, the clauses about plastics and the single-use plastics and the impact that this would have on a company that we have public information about how much the packaging costs. So it's difficult to estimate from the outside what the impact would be when you have a tax on single-use plastics. This is going to be part of the reforms. Can you give us an idea of an analysis? I know you're very, very diligent with that, but could you give us a little idea of... Yes, Johanna. And first of all, thank you for that opinion that you have us. So yes, the products in Nutresa, we've been working very significantly on packaging, reducing our footprint with the impact on the environment. Our company is one of the companies that have been leading the 2030 Vision Project, which here in 2030 to reduce by 30% the impact of packaging on the environment in Colombia, where we have more than 200 Colombian companies working on it, and we are part of similar initiatives in other countries, so especially in Chile. In the circular economy, like you mentioned, it's not just simply an initiative of recycling. This is another way of looking at the materials flow in the company's value chain. We have to find out what materials we use and how we can close the cycle and work with very specific objectives. So going now to the regulations that we had in the form, let me answer that. First of all, the way in which it was worded, we had a problem that the proposal was apparently disconnected from the work that the Ministry of the Environment was carrying out with respect to circular economy. So we believe that it's very likely that in the region there are some initiatives like what we had in the previous reform, but we insisted that hopefully that effort will be coordinated between the environmental authorities and the tax authorities, so that it's not just simply of paying a tax or and continue to contaminate, but let's do a real effort, make a real effort so that the environment is less impacted by the operations. First of all, we're convinced that we have some regulations coming, but I hope that they will be coordinated or between the economic and the environmental aspects. Secondly, you mentioned the talk of single-use plastics. However, the reform project, that wasn't very clear. It was some materials which were not single-use materials. So it's very important that when we have projects that impact the economic area, they should recognize the characteristics of the materials. Our plan for 2030 hopes that by 2030, 100% of the packaging will be recyclable, reusable, or biodegradable. And we're working towards 100%, not just percentage. We did the economic estimates, and what we had submitted thought some extra cost, which partially could be reduced from our income tax. At the total end of 14,000 million pesos a year after we had the tax discounts, which was not minor. But I would like to tell you that at Grupo Nutresa, we invest much more than that in caring for the environment. But that is the answer. And the other thing is, regardless of whether it is approved or not, we have some plans that we submitted for 2030, and we will continue to be very active, regardless of the reform or not, And because of our responsibility, we believe that it's necessary for our products to be more environmentally friendly. So this is the estimate what a company like Nutresa would might have cost for that reform in taxes. So this is very coordinated between the Ministry of the Environment, the Ministry of the tax, so that it rewards the efforts for improving the impact on the environment. Thank you. Go on with the questions to the audio. Question from Carlos Rodriguez from Porvenir. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your presentation. Two questions. One is about that 20% that you mentioned that we're having for fixed rates. And do you have any targets for a higher percentage? And the second question is the problems in Colombia. What impacts have we had with this on supply chain or sales points? Indeed, so far we have close to 20% of our coverage for fixed rates, but we don't have a specific target. At the beginning of the year, we didn't have practically anything was covered. And this depends on the conditions and the terms that we will get with the banking, with the banks. We'll continue to be very active, especially setting terms between 5 and 7 years, but we don't have a specific target. And in second place, about the disturbances we've had in over the past several days, I would say that we've had some problems in logistics in different areas because of blockaded roads or because of people. You have had to change some schedules or to cancel some shifts. I'd say that these are important impacts, but not material yet to the results of the group. So in general, I think that at Grupo Nutresa, we recognize the right of people to social protest, but at the same time, we are making a call for that be done respecting other people's rights and caring not only for private goods, but also for public goods. And these are countries where we have a lot of needs, a lot of effort. It would be terrible if we to destroy the infrastructure that we have in the country. Lastly, with the COVID, the priority is caring for the people. That's why we've been very careful with, you know, checking the conditions so that people can move to work safely and go back to their homes. I think that these are complex times, but as the government has said, there is a call to become great and build together. And there hasn't been a material impact, but it's something that we have to be handled very carefully in the presence of Nutresa in more than 900 municipalities in Colombia. And having satellite warehouses gives us a little breathing room, but it's not unlimited. We trust that there will be a willingness by the people to take back, take that road, which we need to work together. We have to take care of the jobs, the companies. The poverty is a huge challenge, but work, education, and work are two roads to overcome that that poverty, not through destruction. This is what I can tell you. And thank you for being with us. Next question, Hilda? From Philip Ugra from Scotiabank. Good morning. Thank you for my room for space. Could you do a little follow-up on the question about the tax reforms? The last time we had a reform, the consumption was very impacted. We had very difficult years for the company. I think that they started before that tax reform was approved. Are you expecting something similar for this year in terms of tax reforms? Have you seen anything since the discussion began? The second is the purchase for repurchasing something unusual. The superintendent's request to setting up a maximum of the transactions. Have you seen that in any other country? That's something unusual. What do you think about that? Yes, Felipe, glad to talk about your two questions. First, we have not seen with the consumers that they have changed their behavior due to the project, the idea of tax reform. I think there was the feeling that there were other ways to do that, because I think that it's clear that it's needed. We need a tax reform, but we haven't seen that. The impact would be more related to higher levels of unemployment, had to be more with growth of the of poverty, but it not fit simply with the announcement of the project of the intent. But we had a good quarter for sales in Colombia, so we didn't notice any reaction in the consumer's behavior, which has to do with the project. I think that vis-a-vis the coming reform, which we still don't know what it will be, I think that from the signs we see from different sectors, first of all, there are not going to be any changes to the VAT, because the president said so, or the end product or raw materials for the food products. So I think that our fears on the VAT was cleared. And the second is going to be taxed on for people with salaries over 25 million pesos. So that clears many of the fears of the consumers vis-a-vis this topic. And what is most likely going to happen is that we will have a temporary surcharge on income tax, and then we postpone some temporary postponement of the benefits, such as reduction of the ICA tax, which is also been promised, that with some limitations in government assets and efficiency for the state, such as the continuity or the equity tax of those who have to pay when capital is greater than 5,000 million pesos. So if it is a reform along those lines, it shouldn't affect our consumers' behavior. I think that this is a time, well, as long as we are having this levels of the pandemic, this levels of unemployment, and the people's mood is impacted, but the challenge is how, as a society, all of us, including entrepreneurs, create more opportunities, defend jobs, create new jobs, export more to try to change that that trend that the country has been following. One of the reasons why we need a tax reform is to continue to implement the social programs, the programs to defend jobs. So I think the reform of the project it hasn't affected our consumer behavior. There is a reality that we have to work on, all of us, so that we can move forward the country. About the repurchasing, I'm very respectful because we follow the rules. We are abide with it by the law, and I haven't done the my homework of comparing laws country by country. We have to comply with what is we are told. I think that when the superintendency gives us this answer, set some very clear conditions about amounts and prices, and I think that with that regulation, you, as a company, you don't raise the price, but it puts a net to protect the market from falling there. But the country is learning by retaking this type of operations, and several companies will certainly are going to do so as well, and the market is going to have additional volumes, and we're going to have positive results. Besides, we have the possibility of investors who want to go out to have a way to get out. This is a very quiet market, not only in Colombia, but also in Latin America. I am very respectful, and we have to obey with the superintendent's provisions. Felipe, for many years we had a single way of operating. Now we have an alternative, and we see that it's good. We appreciate the position of the regulator because, for all purposes, we are one more actor in the market. This is an activity of treasury and at market prices that is very good for the shares and for the market. Beyond the price, it's like a very positive evolution, a very interesting alternative for the market. Thank you, Felipe. Congratulations for you for the results. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio Jose, for your answers. To continue with the Q&As, I'll have two questions, general questions by Valentina Martinez from Colombia. Valentina asks, good morning, thank you for your presentation. How do you see the topic of transferring high prices from raw materials to prices? Emmanuel asks, could you give us more details about the price strategy? What is going to be our price strategy for the future? Thank you for Valentina and Manuela for being with us, and I will be glad to answer your questions. I mentioned during the outlook how important we believe flexibility is. The products from the Grupo Nutresa should be within the reach of our clients, consumers, and buyers. Also, during the introduction, I mentioned that when we spoke about an increase in average prices, more than 60% of what we see as price increases is really a change in the mix of sales. And we're not talking about the change in prices for the past month. This is a comparison with the first quarter of last year. This gathers everything that we've done during the previous year, plus what we've done during the first quarter of this year. So I would say that that is very important. You were mentioning the issue of the pandemics have affected the economies. Obviously, we have moved back what we had advanced in reducing poverty in the region, and that is why we have strategies which are not just price. I was speaking about financing coverage or hedging, physical inventories, and we've been very active, and we have good levels of coverage. We spoke about innovation, how by innovating we can do things that respond to the needs, but which at the same time maybe lower cost products. Innovation to improve flexibility is important. And Jose Domingo highlighted that also, that the productivity and cost and expenses programs, for us, those issues of coverage, innovation and productivity are always before price. We don't go automatically to prices. And when you come to prices, our pricing models, what we do is allow us to simulate through some calibrated models, calibrated with reality. Every time I touch the price of a product in a geography or through a channel, I simulate some scenarios, because all these markets are freely competition. We see some possible behavior of the competitors, and I find the effect on the volume. The pricing strategies are not just general. They are segmented, you know, by reference, by channel, and by geography, and also respond to possible scenarios of competitors' behavior. In dire cases where we shouldn't do that, because what you move in price, you might lose more in volume. So we always work like that. These pricing strategies are implemented at that level of detail, and we will have them in hand. But I must say, they are not the first tool that we use to manage in the group. The other thing is, I insist that the fact that Grupo Nutresa has geographic diversification is very valuable, because not all the geographies have the same realities. If the second geography in the group of this is the U.S., you see how the U.S. economy is going, how the COVID things are going there, what the market situation is. If the market is Central America, it's a different reality, and Chile is also different. This is also something that you can use to get higher returns in some geographies in a punctual manner. It's a different from a company that is with a single geography. This is what we've been doing. We want to be active. Right now, I mentioned that, let's just say a percentage, that double-digit growth in prices in Colombia, because that figure was for Colombia. Less than 5.3% is price income in some categories. So if you tell me, if we like to touch prices, now we should do the most we can to not to touch the price. But we that is viable, and we have the ability to do that, to have alternatives. That is the answer that I could give you. Obviously, the hedging helps a lot. So thank you for the question. I think that we're going to have a very careful management of prices, and also including the accessibility and return. The next question is from Andres Soto from Santander. How much does the current margin reflect the current prices of the commodities, or is that the effect of previous quarters? The coverage, like this is very dynamic. Carlos Ignacio was saying, we're talking about physical and financial coverage, and the commodities is commodity by commodity. But in general, our policy is trying to cover between 50% and 75% of year to year. We're more on the upper part of the range, and in very specific cases, depending on the geography, on the competitive conditions, how the competition recovers itself, we can come up to 100% and even longer, some up to 24 months. So we're on the upper part of that range with a year to year. But this is a very dynamic process, and we have challenges that we have this new consumption, also challenges in logistics containers. So this is, we're adapting. We're around 75% coverage for the future. Thank you, Jose. Next question comes from Julián López Incentive from Banco General. It has to do with a lot of with commodities. How to face the growth of all the increase in prices in all raw materials. Thank you for being with us. I think that in part my previous answer answers that. Let's just recap. Cost and expense productivity, financial and physical coverages, innovation, eco-efficiency, effort affecting less of the environment, but also using productivity and pricing. That concludes the Q&A and the teleconference for results for the first quarter of this year. Any additional questions, you can send them through the Investor Relations office. Thank you very much for being with us. Have a happy week. Thank you for your participation in this event. You may now disconnect.